Hello and welcome to Lewis Nidas Law and the Lewis Nidas podcast. I'm your host, Holly Sonnebend, and today we'll be talking to solicitor and partner in the crime and fraud team, Keith Wood.
Good evening.
Keith has over 20 years' experience in all aspects of fraud and serious criminal work, and is well known for his work in complex Proceeds of Crime Act cases, money laundering and confiscation proceedings. Keith qualified as a solicitor in 1996, having undertaken his training in an East London practice. There, he became involved in cases involving fraud, customs and excise offences and drug importations. Having joined Lewis Nidas in 2002, Keith gained significant experience in acting in larger and more complex financial crime investigations, including the SFO investigation into the collapse of the Kaupthing Bank, several high-profile fraud investigations, and what has been described as the longest-running confiscation case ever to come before the courts. Keith has acted in a growing number of trading standards and local authority prosecutions on the regulatory team at Lewis Nidas. Keith, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome to you. Thank you.
So, Keith, what is contempt?
Well, contempt, that's quite a tricky one to start with, as contempt covers quite a wide range of activities, and it can also be both civil and criminal in its nature. There's a number of different forms that contempt can actually take. There can be contempt in the face of court, a committal for breach of a judgment order or an undertaking to abstain from doing an act or admission. There can be a committal for the interference with the administration of justice. There can be contempt proceedings for making a false statement of truth or a false disclosure statement in proceedings. There can be a committal by a certification by any court to the High Court. And there's lastly a writ of sequestration to enforce a judgment order or an undertaking. But in general, most people find themselves in a contempt situation in the first three or four examples of what I've said above. Contempt in the face of court. In general, this is the offence of being disobedient to or disrespectful towards a court of law or its officers in the form of a behaviour that opposes or defies the authority, justice and dignity of the court. This is often direct in the sense that the contempt takes place before the judge or the tribunal that's hearing the case itself. In fact, though, it's not a requirement that the judge sees or hears the actual contempt, but the contempt has to take place either in relation to a case or take place within the precincts of the court. This form of contempt is very wide indeed and can be both criminal and civil in nature, dependent upon the case in which the contempt occurs. For instance, in criminal cases, there are often orders which are made restricting the reporting of the trial or, for example, the previous convictions of one of the defendants. There may even be restrictions naming some of the parties in the case or certain aspects of the evidence and so on. These can be, I suppose, broadly labelled as publication contempt kind of issues. There's again another problem of what's known as juror contempt. For example, by a juror discussing the case outside the confines of the jury or by being disruptive during the course of a trial. These contempts are often referred to the Attorney General for advice on whether to prosecute, depending upon the severity of the contempt before the court. Turning to breach orders or injunctions, this again is another common ground and yet again arises in both criminal and civil cases. A lot of court orders will have what's termed a penal notice attached warning the parties that a breach of the order can amount to a contempt. However, a lack of that warning doesn't prevent it from being brought to the attention of the courts, nor indeed for the breach being taken to court itself. False statements made in proceedings can amount to a contempt. For instance, in one contempt case in which I acted, a defendant who was subject to a civil case ended up facing contempt proceedings in a road traffic matter because the judge found that he had exaggerated the injuries which he had got. That contempt was brought to the High Court on the recommendation of the district judge hearing the civil case. That contempt was brought on recommendation of the district judge who heard the civil case and was commenced by the insurers who were defending the claim. Civil contempt proceedings can also arise from non-compliance with the orders of the court, whether this be an injunction prohibiting certain types of conduct or behaviour, or by a general failure to comply with a court order. That court order can in fact be a summons to attend court itself.
What have the impacts of social media and the internet been in this area?
Well, all our lives are now extensively documented on social media, and the temptation for anyone to comment, like, or check in is always extremely tempting. It's very easy, I suspect, for anyone involved in legal proceedings to inadvertently or perhaps deliberately put something out there on a social media platform without realising the possible consequences that it could have. You can see a situation in which a juror hearing a case decides to go off and carry out some investigations on the internet about the case and end up landing themselves in an awful lot of trouble with the judge. Also, one of the other problems is the speed at which now these social media postings can spread. That means within literally minutes or seconds, it's seen by a far greater audience than we ever envisaged. We must all take great care when commenting upon any case in whatever capacity in which we're involved. You, for instance, may not know that there's restrictions on the case, and so great care should always be exercised. I think that the live reporting of high-profile cases could now yet lead to more examples of contempt coming before the courts.
What should one do if threatened with contempt?
Well, being entirely selfish and self-protectionist, I would always say you should seek proper legal advice as early and as quickly as possible, as soon as you become aware that proceedings for contempt are being contemplated. Contempt is a very, very tricky area. You may not be aware that what you've done, in fact, amounts to a contempt, and equally sometimes there's a temptation to act a bit quickly when the problem arises, as more often than not, the contempt takes place during what can be a highly charged and emotional moment in a case. The Robinson case shows exactly that. In that case, the judge's initial findings were set aside successfully on his appeal and a retrial was ordered. Sometimes it can be appropriate to purge the contempt as swiftly as possible. In essence, what that means is to apologise or to take steps to remedy the offending act, even if you didn't think it constituted a contempt. This is often very good mitigation when dealing with the problem at large. The fact that it was remedied quickly and was as little damage to the administration of justice as soon as possible will more often result in a more favourable result at the end of the case.
Will I have to pay my lawyer fees, as the proceedings can be very costly?
In short, the answer to that is no. It was until 2015 a huge struggle for anyone facing contempt to get assistance by way of legal aid or any other method for that means for these types of cases. It was in 2015 that the Kings Lynn and Bunning case was decided, which dealt then with what was a very torturous route by which any person facing contempt proceedings could get legal aid. Interestingly, I was instructed in a matter at the same time as that case, and we had been refused legal aid, which we were about to challenge when that judgment came out. In a situation where an individual is at serious risk of being sent to prisons, it's always been my view that they should have been able to have a lawyer represent them in those proceedings. In the aftermath of the Kings Lynn case, there was some confusion as to whether or not legal aid in contempt was limited purely to contempt matters in the High Court only. But now, in the Haringey and Brown case, which was heard in 2016, that's all been resolved, and an individual facing contempt, irrespective of their own financial circumstances, is entitled to legal aid as of right. One of the problems which we still find is that there's a lack of knowledge in the profession that legal aid is available for people facing contempt proceedings, and more often than not, it can be quickly and speedily granted.
Will it be a private hearing?
In general, contempt should be public, but if the circumstances of the case provide, in exceptional circumstances, the proceedings are held in private. This is usually in the case of a family law matter of contempt, or matters where the publication of the proceedings could cause significant harm or risk to the parties. However, and this is important, any finding of contempt and the sentence which the court passes has to be publicised, and there's guidance by way of a practice direction from the High Court ordering that the sentence and the finding is made public and indeed is published on the Usual Law website, which is known as Bailey.
What can one expect from sentencing if found in contempt?
Well, first, in order to be found guilty of contempt, the judge hearing the application, whether that's in the County Court or the High Court, or indeed the Crown Court, has to be satisfied to the criminal standard that the contempt has occurred. The judge has to be satisfied beyond any reasonable doubt. Oddly, contempt of court proceedings are criminal in their nature, even though they can arise in either civil or family arenas, where the burden and standard of proof are different. The sentence for contempt is a maximum period of 2 years imprisonment or a fine. The period of imprisonment can be suspended, but there's no scope for any other sentence, so there's no community orders or anything else like that. It's a fine, imprisonment, which is either activated or suspended. One other point which a lot of people overlook is that there's no eligibility either for early release under the home detention curfew rules. So if you're sentenced to a term of imprisonment, you will serve half of that term, whatever it is. Contempt is taken seriously by the courts, and they're not afraid of passing sentences of imprisonment for acts of contempt. Without a punitive element, court orders are a bit like a toothless dog, and it shouldn't be forgotten that it's the court that you're in contempt of, not the other side in the case. It's the court's order that's been breached, and they will view it quite seriously. Finally, costs. As with all litigation, costs will follow the event, and if you face contempt proceedings which are found against you, you will have to pay costs of the other side. The sting in the tail in civil contempt is that could include the cost of the investigation, i.e. of bringing this contempt to the court's attention, so that can be very significant and costly indeed.
Keith, thank you so much for your time. Where can people contact you with potential inquiries?
The best place to contact us is via our website. My email address is on there along with a contact number, and that's where I recommend that people start if they are worried about this or about any contempt issues that they're facing. Please do give us a ring.
Fantastic. That's all from the Lewis Nidas podcast today. You can find us at Lewis Nidas Law on Twitter and at lewisnidas.co.uk. Thank you for listening.